If you have a small morning program, some devotees there. I hear from Finland. I see.
From Göteborg.
And from Göteborg. That's why you are so many. Welcome. So now I'm totally nervous if I will say something which is useful for your spiritual life. But I think in such an association you can't go wrong because it's so inspiring. There's a certain strength which comes when devotees come together who just have the desire to make advancement in Krishna consciousness. This is extremely inspiring for the speaker of Krishna Katha. So let us read today a verse from the 4th canto, chapter 7, text 34. We don't really have a 34, the pandits are quarreling about I was told 34, is it alright? Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Rishaya Uchuh.
Rishaya Uchuh.
Ananvitam.
Ananvitam.
Bhagavan
Vicheshtitam
Vicheshtitam
Ya
Ya
Atmana
Atmana
Sadasi
Sadasi
Dharma
Dharma
Atsyase
Atsyase
Bhutaye
Bhutaye
Yata
Yata
Upasedu
Upasedu
Ishvarin
Ishvarin
Na
Manyate
Manyate
Ayam
Anuvartatim
Bhavan. I will just read it because it might be too difficult for some of us. Rishaya uchuhu ananvitam te bhagavan vicheshtitam yaratmana charasi ikarmanasyase vibhutaye yatau pasedu ishvarim Namanyate svayamanuvatatim bhavan. Rishayaha.
Rishayaha.
The sages.
The sages.
Uchuhu.
Uchuhu.
Prayed.
Prayed.
Ananvitam.
Ananvitam.
Wonderful.
Wonderful.
Te.
Te.
Your.
Your.
Bhagavan.
Bhagavan.
O possessor of all opulences.
O possessor of all opulences.
Vicheshtitam.
Vicheshtitam.
Activities.
Activities.
Ya.
Ya.
Vish.
Vish.
Atmana.
Atmana.
By your potencies.
By your potencies.
Charasi.
Charasi.
You execute.
You execute.
Di.
Di.
Certainly.
Certainly.
Karma.
Karma.
To such activities.
To such activities.
Natsyase.
Natsyase.
You are not attached.
You are not attached.
Vibhutaye.
Vibhutaye.
For her mercy.
For her mercy.
Yataha.
Yataha.
From whom?
From whom?
Upaseduhu.
Upaseduhu.
Worshipped.
Worshipped.
Ishvarim.
Ishvarim.
Lakshmi.
Lakshmi.
The goddess of fortune.
The goddess of fortune.
Namanyate.
Namanyate.
Are not attached.
Are not attached.
Svayam.
Svayam.
Yourself.
Yourself.
Anuvartatim.
Anuvartatim.
To your obedient servant Lakshmi.
To your obedient servant Lakshmi.
Bhavan.
Bhavan.
Your lordship.
Your lordship.
Translation. The sages prayed. Dear Lord, your activities are most wonderful, and although you do everything by your different potencies, you are not at all attached to such activities. You are not even attached to the goddess of fortune, who is worshipped by the great demigods like Brahma, who pray to achieve her mercy. Prabhupada. In Bhagavad Gita, it is said that the Lord has no desire to achieve any result from his wonderful activities, nor has he any need to perform them. But still, in order to give an example to people in general, he sometimes acts, and those activities are very wonderful. He is not attached to anything, namang karmani limpanti, although he acts very wonderfully. He is not at all attached to anything. He is self-sufficient. The example is given here that the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, is always engaged in the service of the Lord, but still he is not attached to her. Even great demigods like Brahma worship the goddess of fortune in order to win her favor. But although the Lord is worshipped by many hundreds and thousands of goddesses of fortune, he is not at all attached to any one of them. This distinction concerning the exalted transcendental position of the Lord is specifically mentioned by the great sages. He is not like the ordinary living entity who is attached to the results of pious activities. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nittinamine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paskatyade Shatarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shrivasadi Gaura Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare The great sages prayed, Dear Lord, your activities are most wonderful. And although you do everything by your different potencies, you are not at all attached to such activities. You are not even attached to the goddess of fortune, who is worshipped by the great demigods like Brahma, who pray to achieve her mercy. Hare Krishna. Here in this verse we hear yet another time about one of the glories of Sri Krishna. He is not attached. He does not act in order to achieve a result like people in this world do. But because Krishna is totally free from the attachments, he therefore has no need to just work in order to get something he is attached to. Krishna is also not attached to what most of the conditioned souls are attached to. Most of the conditioned souls are attached to an attractive sexual partner, either legal or licit or illicit. And if they are not attached to this, which is, I mean, to find someone who is free from this is like to find a dinosaur in Stockholm. But even if he is not attached or she is not attached to
this because he is a very strong Vaishnava. That might be a reason. Still, the conditioned soul remains attached to name, fame, and glory. If I may sing it so unprofessionally. The desire for recognition and distinction. In fact, it is a need of a conditioned soul to receive some recognition and distinction. We need it just like we need food. We need the affection of our peers. But I'm not speaking now about this necessity, which all of us have, a necessity for some amount of affection and understanding by others. No, I'm speaking now of the desire for name, fame, and glory. On my way down into the temple, Manidhara Prabhu and myself just briefly mentioned the name Freud and thought I would quote Sigmund here a little bit. He said a very true thing, that there are two things a conditioned soul is attached to. It is sexual pleasures, and even stronger, to be well known and loved by others. It is very, very, very important. You know Admiral Byrd, it was the person, General Byrd or something, I don't know, I remember exactly, it was the person who made an excursion into the Antarctic. Do you know how he financed it? He financed it by promising some rich men that some gletscher, like an ice mountain, would be called after them. And they were prepared to give like millions and billions of, maybe not billions, but really amounts which went up to a couple of hundred thousand US dollars, or even $1 million dollars, if their name would be given to these ice mountains. I think in English the name is glacier. Yeah, you can make sense of this. But gletscher is the German word, if it tells you something.
Glacier.
Now it's only ice, really, and most probably no one will come to the Antarctic again and look at them and even know that Mr. Hans Wurst, this is a Hans Wurst glacier, or whatever. But the desire for just to be name and fame is extremely prominent in the conditioned soul. It's a great need. So Krishna, he is not really dependent on this at all. If we glorify him, it's not for his interest. Not at all for in his interest. It is purely in our interest. And to give you a little illustration, which might engladden your Krishna conscious life, I would like to tell you a story which was revealed just recently about Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu, appeared as a covered incarnation. He did not want to be known as Krishna. So once there was a sadhu who went into the Ganga in order to, you know, take his bath and then chant the Gayatri mantra. So he was standing there half merged in the Ganga when all of a sudden he saw how the Ganga's water went down up to his knees. And then slowly the Gangas were coming up again over his chest and up to here. Then again the Gangas was going down up to his knees, and he was thinking, oh, what is this? Imagine you, I think some of you have Brahmin initiation. Yes, you have chanted your Gayatri Mantra in Mother Ganga up to here. Have you done so? I know Manidara has, but have you done? It is recommended to do it like this. You're half merged in the Brahma, in the Ganga. If you chant your Gayatri, that's the best Gayatri which you can do. If it doesn't happen, if what happened to the Brahmana doesn't happen to you, you know, you can imagine what's going up and down and up, down, and he was just totally diverted, you know. And he wanted to find out what is the cause of Mother Ganga's unusual behavior. As he looked on the bank of the Ganga, he saw a golden colored boy, a poikin. And this poikin was going on the bank of Mother Ganga, and sometimes he would go a little bit. You know, imagine this is like the Ganga, right? So he would go like this. Like this. And whenever he went a little bit far away from the Ganga, Mother Ganga, to touch his feet, was coming out of the riverbed. at the feet. And then sometimes he would just, like little boys, to come close to the Ganga. Mother Ganga was going back to be in the distance so that he would make his feet too wet. Then he would go a little bit. The Ganga was again coming, and that was the reason why it's up. So, but then, this is only the beginning, something very mysteriously happened. All of a sudden, a chariot came out of the Ganga, made from solid gold. And in the chariot was the most beautiful woman that Brahmana had ever seen. She had an effulgence just like the moon in the night, and white garments. And listen to this, this chariot was drawn by dolphins. Who of you has been in Mother Ganga so far? Oh, so many. That means I have many older devotees are here today. Have you all seen the dolphins coming sometimes up? Yeah? What I usually do, I sit in the morning at the Mother Ganga and just chant. And then some dolphins come to listen. They come, stretch their head out and Haribol. Gauranga dolphins, you know. So these dolphins were before this chariot and drew the chariot out of the Mother Ganga, and the Ganges was getting down before this golden boy on a made obeisances and said, "My dear Lord, in your previous incarnation as Krishna, you were only benefiting my sister Yamuna. You were never coming to me.
in this incarnation, I beg you, please bathe in me so that I can embrace you.
Okay.
In this incarnation, please stay at the bank. And then the golden boy said, golden boy, he said, yes, I will grant your desire, but only up to the time when I take sannyas, when I believe Navadvipa. So the brahmana, you know, standing there with his
he must have forgotten the lines. We can just imagine he must have lost the lines actually. So he was chanting like this, and you know, not chanting actually, he totally interrupted. And then after the lady had disappeared in the waves of Ganga, personified Mother Ganga, he came out of the Ganga and he paid his dandavat and said, my dear Lord, you must be the Lord, but exactly what incarnation are you? I have never heard of a golden boy being so attractive and being glorified by Mother Ganga as the Supreme Lord. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, no, I think the name is very anticlimactic. Then this boy said, yes, and he explained his identity to the fortunate Brahmana, and he showed also his form as Krishna to him. But then he said something important, please listen to this, because this is directly with our point. He said, don't say it to anyone. If you should say what you have said to anyone, I will have to remove you from this earth. The Brahmana kept his mouth shut until the manifested pastimes of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I think you all have immediately identified him. He did not talk about what he had seen and heard until the manifest pastime was over. Mahaprabhu had left already. Then he spoke about it. Mahaprabhu had told this to several devotees, and only after his pastime this came out. I wanted to use this example to show you all how Mahaprabhu, or how God, how Krishna, is totally beyond the need to be recognized by others. He's totally beyond this. He doesn't have it. We have it, and we have it due to a wrong understanding of ourselves. As you know, and I will now get into some very very deep philosophical point. As you know, the conditioned soul in this material world is suffering under a misconception. This has been identified in the Bhagavad Gita. He thinks katalham he thinks kataham. What means this kataham? Kataham means I am the doer of activities. Now, in the movement for Krishna consciousness, we are informed you are not the doer. But then my question to all of you this morning is a quite unsettling question, by the way. Then who is acting? When Mukunda Prabhu goes to the school programs, I suppose you are still doing that. He drives with his car to the gymnasium. Who's acting, or what is acting? in the Gita we hear that only the modes are acting. Passion, maybe talking ninth key, you know, the Volvo in the winter, it often doesn't start so well. You know, there's some passion that he uses for his going for the transport. Then some ignorance when he loses the way. Then some goodness when he doesn't get agitated like Mukunda never does. You know, and, but is this really all? If it is all, why in the 18th chapter, after saying that no one is a doer, Krishna all of a sudden says that the living entity is Kata, that means the doer? Or let me ask you another question, which is put by Baladev Vidyabhushan, and now it gets tough. He asks two questions. The modes of material nature are not conscious entities. They cannot make a decision. Like, you know, it's not that the mode of passion is like a person. Maybe I should do this or better. Better, it is maybe more advantageous if I go to Govinda and eat. And after I have eaten, I do such and such shopping. Or should I maybe do the shopping first and then eat not at Govinda's but at the Brahmakund project? You know, it's not that the motives of nature are thinking like this, like and so on and so forth. And now it gets even more tough. Baladev Vidyabhushana says, if the living entity is not the doer, then why do the Vedic scriptures tell us do this and don't do this? If in the beginning, you know, if I would know, let us say, some person is not the doer, in other words, he can't do anything, then why would I tell him, please, could you be so kind to bring a piece of bread to the Sankirtan devotees? You follow? I would not tell him anything. You know, it's a little, I think Gaurahari has your son Damodar. You know, you wouldn't say to Damodar, please drive to Stockholm, because you know he couldn't possibly do that. He's not equipped to just hear a car and to go left and right, you know, he's just, he would be totally überfragt, you know, he would be totally, just, it would be not possible for him. So, how does an action take place? This is the question now. It seems that there are two different informations about it. What does it mean not to be the action? To be the doer.
That the soul has a desire, according to the desire, removes the page acting.
Aha. The soul has a desire, and according to that desire, removes the acting. Any other? It's quite a good answer. But it is not accurate. That you missed a very important person here in this.
In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is talking about the different causes of action. The super soul is the most important.
Yes. Of course, he's so long in the movement, he knows everything, so. Yes, yes, the way it happens is like this. Please listen very carefully, because it might change your whole life. The soul is the cause of desire. Without the soul, there would be no desire. Then the super soul becomes aware of this desire. Like a man who's passing a flower garden becomes aware of the fragrance of the flower. I think you all have made this experience when you go past some roses. You smell the roses, you become aware of this beautiful fragrance. So the super soul always is aware of our many desires. And then, if the super soul sees that it is our karma, our karma allows, then that those desires are fulfilled by the super soul, who is arranging the circumstances in such a way that the desire can be fulfilled. Like, for instance, maybe someone wants to marry. I know this never happens in the movement of Krishna consciousness, but let us use the material world as an example. Someone wants to marry or meet a beautiful woman, or a woman wants to meet a strong man with good character, or, you know, some any qualities. Then the super soul arranges that it is done like this, that you will come into the situation. Even for a non-devotee, he arranges. I remember as a Kami, I always wanted to go to Sweden. I always wanted, somehow Sweden was like that, really the place where I wanted to go. And Afghanistan. young people have no logic in that. And I must tell you, I wanted to go for reasons which I'm now ashamed of. Therefore, being a little shy and decent, I will not tell you, because you would never come to a lecture again. So I still remembered that Krishna fulfilled my desire when I was a devotee, and I'm happy that he only did it when I began. Anyway, I remember the situation. I was with Mukunda Prabhu at a school program somewhere, and he had invited me to give the school lecture. It must have been Mukunda and Priyavrata. Paramananda? Priyavrata. You also? Yes. In some gymnasium. Yeah. And I remember the situation which I had always wished for as a Kami happened in this time. I again will not tell you what it is. I will not even tell Manidhara. I will tell everything, but he will not tell you. Please don't speculate what it is. You will never be able to enter into the wild fantasy of a conditioned soul. It's impossible for you. So I remember I was in this situation where it would have been possible to fulfill that desire. And I remember how, you know, I was thinking for a moment, oh, how glad that I am a devotee. Now I won't do this foolishness which I wanted to do. So, but what was extremely clear to me, that Krishna in the heart had become aware of my desire and arranged the situation just like so that the desire could be fulfilled. I think many of you are going to Sankirtan. This is Rohini Kumar. Rohini Nandana. sorry. The famous Tadavendra. Who is it? Also, Tapas is also here? That is you. You look like a Tapasvi. I'm sorry, but I have to, you know, personal movement. I have to know who's who. I know it's a little embarrassing before everything, sure. I won't do it. But I think both of you who are Sankirtan and all the other Sankirtan. Who does Sankirtan here, please? Just there. Yes. Mm-hmm. I think you all have the experience that you desire sometimes very strongly to distribute books. And all of a sudden, in the midst of the cold Finland or Norway or Sweden, someone goes like, I'm leading the book distribution conference, you know, the car comes, stops, and what do you have there? Well, I have this knicker, this books, you know, and then you can give them several volumes of Prabhupada's books. Don't we all know this? What? Who has arranged? Krishna, the super soul. He has told this man who drives the car to go this road and to meet a Sankirtan devotee. Isn't it very clear on Sankirtan, Manidhar? Isn't it crystal clear? So this is how Krishna is a doer. According to the desires of the living energy, well, he becomes aware of this. Once you understand, so in other words, yes, you are the doer, Kata. You are also a cause of the of the actions, of the endeavor, your senses, and so on. But this is now very important. You are not the only doer. In fact, and if you want to have percentages, you have a little thing to do with the action, and that is your desire. But the major part of what happens at an action is what Krishna arranges. Hridayananda Maharaj, who has the unique ability to make complex philosophical subject matters very clear using these fantastic examples, gave the following example, and I want to give it to you so that you know, so that you can understand this a little bit more deeper. Do you have in Sweden these machines where you can choose what drink you want, maybe orange, or mineral water, or so on? We have this. So, you go there to this machine, and let us say you choose mineral water. You press the button. Then, after you have done this, a complex machinery will start to work. It will make like bing, bing, bang, 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 bing, bing, bang, 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 you know, in the machine. And then you see a mechanical hand, which puts a paper cup under the pipe. Yes, under the pipe, and the pipe goes like zoom, 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 and stops under the over the paper cup. And I'm not so mechanically informed about how exactly it works, but then all of a sudden the machine just injects the orange juice into the paper cup. You had the desire, and the machine was fulfilling the desire. This is how it happens in this, because it was constructed like this by Van Per Andersson, who is a machine constructor, by some Daniel Duistrieb, you know. So this is now exactly how life in this world goes. You have the desire, and then the complex machinery of your body will work in cooperation with the modes, being infused by modes of material nature. And in this way we say modes are acting. Huh? They are moving your body. It's almost Lord Brahma expresses this in the prayers. Oh, we are like puppets, my dear Lord, and you move us. The strings are the modes of material nature. Now this brings a very important conclusion to the life of Adihari. The conclusion is that it's very important what I desire. You may act in a certain way, but if your desire is differently, that desire will be fulfilled. You cannot cheat a super soul. It's a good formula. It's almost like a hit. You cannot cheat a super soul. You know. Be very, very careful what your desire is. Krishna will arrange the rest. In this connection, I want to tell you my favorite story. This morning is story three. This is the best story which you have ever heard in your life. Never was there such a story, never will be such a story. Sorry, I'm sometimes a little temperamental. I know that there are millions of better stories. Listen to this. Which makes... And don't forget the point. We are talking about the how important desires are in our lives. How they are more important than our actions and our words. Krishna looks at our desires. We are moving back into a historic time, to a historical king of some part of the Rajasthani desert. It was the well-known king Jai Singh. Jai Singh was a great devotee of the Lord who had in his palace a temple room. It was a wonderful room made of marble. He used to worship his deity of Shyama Sundara every morning up till 8 o'clock. He had 7 to 8 was puja time, and he had given the order that no one was allowed to interrupt his puja. So there was an arch enemy of his who had tried to capture Jai Singh, to defeat Jai Singh in battle many, many times. But Jai Singh was so powerful that it was totally impossible. One day, this king, whose name I forgot unfortunately, came to know that Jai Singh had this puja time between 7 and 8 o'clock. And only 1 week later, the whole army of this enemy king was before the town, little town of Jai Singh. Jai Singh only had something like 7,000 soldiers at his command. And he was there with 15,000. And you know, the minister heard this. He had, it was just 1 minute past 7 o'clock when he saw this.
Why said Bharat, I don't even know you. Thank you, because you slept on top of us.
Well, this is a little embarrassing, you know. How did...
No. We were once, and they explained how they were fallen, how they were demigoddesses who were coming to earth to seduce this one yogi, how they were cursed, and how they were liberated from the curse of being trees just by Bharata, who was filled with the sound vibration of the Bhagavad Gita. So this is an illustration which is offered to tell us how even a slight contact with the message of the personality of Godhead can liberate us from our fallen condition. Now, there is one rule, however, dear Padayatris, one has to hear at the truthful devotee, one has to be a real devotee wanting to make Krishna conscious advancement. If one is a kapata, kapata means cheater, who's only dressed as a devotee but who wants something else and not Krishna conscious advancement, it won't work so well. And one has to hear with attention. This is the second rule. To hear with attention is sometimes not easy because of the restlessness of the mind and so many things, impressions in the mind, but we have to give as much attention as possible. This is how we can worship the Holy Scripture, by being attentive. Also, in Padma Puran, there is a story which I want to tell you briefly about the two brothers, Gokana and Dundukari, which tells you how important it is to chant, to hear with attention. It's a long story and it takes about 1.5 hours to tell it totally, but we will finish it in 4 minutes. Let us see. These were two brothers. Dundukari was so sinful that even when he was a little boy, he would go in the houses of the neighbors, take the little babies and throw them into the wells to drown them. He set fire to the houses of neighbors, and once he beat up his mother so that she would give him all the money which he needed to buy alcohol and prostitutes. Dundukari was out to lunch, as you say. The exact opposite was his brother Gokana, who engaged in devotional service and study of the Bhagavatam. One day, Admadhara, the father of Gokana and Dundukari, became so frustrated.
Old times, the Kshatriyas would just, you know, kill every one of their enemies to make sure that the war was over once and for all. They would often take the women and, you know, abduct them, bring them into their own kingdoms, and, you know, eventually marry them, or, you know, if they were very uncultured, they did things which we don't want to mention here. The Kshatriya ladies at that time, when their husbands had fallen in battle, they would kill themselves to not become a victim of these, you know, enemy. So when the Premier Minister saw it, he said, "Oh no." He knew how heavy his king was, and so he went to the mother of the king and said, "You go to Jai Singh and tell him what you see with your own eyes, then you see what happens." So the queen mother did not really dare to enter, but because the whole life of the town was at stake, she shyly knocked at the door. There was no answer. She went and opened the door, and there she saw her son dressed, you know, I don't know in which stage of the puja he was. Most probably he was just removing the ornaments from the Lord in order to give him an abhishek. She again knocked at the wall. Jai Singh, yes? You know no one should disturb this puja. My dear son, your army is waiting. It is totally dependent on you, because the enemy is surrounding the town and is just about to attack. Oh, said Jai Singh, I cannot stop my puja. I have given this vow that I would worship the Lord every morning. Oh, said the queen, but what is it about your people who are totally dependent on you? I think he was fighting with himself, but then he said, let Krishna's will happen. What are you saying? Is this what I should say to your premier minister and the soldiers? Yes, let Krishna's will happen. She went out in tears, and she went into her room, and she made the poison ready. Why are you laughing? This is very dramatic. She was Chatiya also. So at this particular moment, you know, the army couldn't march. They needed the decisions of the commander-in-chief, which was the king. At this particular moment, the Stallmeister, the master of the horses, I don't know how you call him in English. You know, he takes care, is in charge of the horses. Saw Jai Singh's huge body running into the thing, and jumping on his horse. It was a huge horse. You know, these people were Chatiya. They were not they had bodies, big bodies, very, very strong. They could fight with many people at once. He saw him and jumping on his horse. Now the horse was almost 3 meters high. No one could ride this horse except Jai Singh. It was so wild and uncontrolled. It was a very heavy horse, a battle horse. And you know, the horse master said, how strange, the king is getting the horse himself, and I heard a rumor that he does not interrupt his puja, but the Jai Singh was on the horse and he galloped out of the horse, out of the town, and he called the army, you know, to follow him, but everything went so fast. He alone galloped out of the city gate, and this day no one had seen it ever before. He was fighting with two swords, and he was just going like just attacking full launch. And it's described that he fought like a farmer who just mows down the field with a sickle. And you know, in a matter of a half an hour, the king's son was lying wounded on the ground, the king was dead, and the minister of the king was also dead. And whatever rest of the army, you know, had some good sense, they just fled like anything. So this happened before the soldiers of Jai Singh could really do something, because they had no command. Jai Singh was fighting alone the battle. That was clear. He didn't care about the soldiers. So then it was Klokan Ota the door of the puja room opened, and a totally distressed Jai Singh ran out of the puja room down to where the horses were, and said to the horse master, "Where's my horse? Put the saddle on the horse if it's not already too late." The horse master was, "What? But you rode already. The army is over. Jai Jai Singh. Not the army. The battle is over. Jai Jai Singh. Jai Jai Singh." Flowers, you know. No. No. I was making puja. But look, your horse. Only you can ride your horse, and the horse was going. You know, totally finished. You know, sweating and just finito, you know. What? Said Jason. And he got an idea, and he took another horse and went out on the battlefield. And he saw all these enemy soldiers just either lying dead or being just very, very much hurt by being struck. And then he came to the son of the king, Raj. So sorry, I forget this name. So it's Raj something. And the son was lying there in utter bliss. And he said, and he just jumped down and said, What happened? I saw your horse, and I saw on top of him a horseman who had a bluish effulgence. And then this horseman looked at me, and he just began to attack me, and I had no possibility to do anything. He was so fast and so awful, and jump, he hit me, and then I lie down, and to tell you quite honestly, I'm so blissful. I don't know why. I think it must have been you, because it was your horse, but in another sense it couldn't be you, because I wouldn't feel blissful to see you, to be quite honest. And then Jai Singh got just very, very, very upset. He went to the temple and he said, Shyam Sundar, I'm worshipping you every day since I am young, and you choose to give your darshan to my enemy. I've never had your darshan in your personal room. I'm worshipping this. And then, you know, the Chatya moved a little bit of the mode of passion, you know, came out. If you don't give me your darshan, and he took his knife, I will kill myself now. And at this particular moment, and it's described when he was praying like this to Shyama Sundar, he was behind the pillar. No, he was the pillar. He was the alpha. He was the pillar. Pillar which upheld the construction of the temple. And he was there, Shyama Sundar. He was addressing Shyama Sundar. And, you know, he was then going like, taking the knife, and he just wanted to bury it in his heart. But all of a sudden there was a hand. And then he looked back who was holding him. He saw, it wasn't only his imagination, but he saw the smiling face of the Lord. But then it disappeared. Krishna didn't have even time to come from the altar, you know. And then Jai Singh was also in bliss. That morning, no, you have to wait, it is not finished. Just but 1 minute. It's 1 minute until the story is finished. You don't have to wait for the... I know that you have to go to the restaurant, but you have to hear the story at least for the end. So, then the next morning, he was doing puja, but there one earring was missing on the ear of Shyama Sundar. He was looking everywhere on the floor, but it couldn't have been that the earring fell on the floor. It just didn't do it. It never happened. And how could it happen? And there was nothing on the floor. So he got an idea. He called his whole army and that we have to look for an earring on the battlefield. If it looks like this, don't ask me why. Okay, the army went, you know, they were, anyways, extremely respectful to the king, who just fought the whole battle almost single-handedly, according to their understanding. They were looking, and finally, on the battlefield, they found the second earring. Jai Singh was extremely ecstatic, and he made a lake. He knew Shyama Sundar had fought the battle, and it was maybe a little energetic or a little interesting or a little. So he had lost one of his earrings, which was on the ground. That was his proof that he couldn't have made a mistake. Otherwise, how would the ear? No one was coming to this. On the altar, it was, you know, a Kshatriya altar. It was you couldn't just steal something. And that was the proof. Okay, it's now. But you needed to hear this detail, otherwise you may have had doubts if this is true or not. Now, you know. There is a very good example, I find, how if you do have a desire to worship Krishna and become Krishna conscious, Krishna makes the arrangements which are necessary for your life. But you have to work at the desire. That's the most precious thing which we have. There is a statement by Bhaktivinoda Thakur which is quite shocking, but at the same time quite educational. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he makes the point that many followers of religions are dharma dvajis. Dharma we all know. What means dvaji? What means dva?
Two.
Yes. So dharma dvaji means he acts in one way, one, but he thinks in another way. He is split in two as far as his activities are concerned. That refers to the desires which are in the heart. Now, the best way really to transform desires. The best way to act with desires is to transform desires. And it's now 9:15, and I know we all have service to do, and we also want to go on. I think some of us go on Harinam in Stockholm today. I will control my tongue now. But if you are interested, this lecture has a second part. It is that is how exactly to transform desires. We will get deeply into Vedic psychology. It will be quite interesting. We will also challenge the concepts of Sigmund Freud. We will give him a fair chance to explain his philosophy, but then we will try to rip it into attractive little pieces. So that lecture will be given in the evening in the Hare Krishna Center, in the evening, Monday evening, I thought, because that's very interesting also to the congregation who comes, and for the Swedish pop president also, and it's a very interesting subject matter. But for now, I just want to establish, since the Lord is there fulfilling our desires since time immemorial, it's very important that we become sufficiently aware of our desires. That we not act and speak in one way, but our desires are in another way. You can be rest assured, Krishna will fulfill the desires, also the foolish desires. You are what you desire. You know, George Bernard Shaw said, you are what you eat, which is physically correct. On the physical platform we often quote it. But your being, your existence is very much by your desire. I remember a very telling thing. We had a soldier, we had a meeting with Sri Vishnupad where there were several opinions in the room, and then Vishnupad just stopped for a moment, he leaned back, and he said, the only difference between us is in our minds. he said, it's an interesting, it's a wonderful, he didn't mean it as a criticism, he just made it like a statement, a thought, how true it is. And very often I start my lectures when I'm in circles, when they, you know, in the university students, where they are a little bit shocked when they see a Hare Krishna devotee with this avantgardistic cloth. I see the only difference between us is in our minds. <Very good. laughs> So nice, isn't it? Maybe in book distribution you can also try this line. The only difference between us is in our minds. Improve your mental culture. Read this book. I don't know if this would be a good line. Don't you know? I'm absolutely amateurish in my endeavors in book distribution. Better we ask the Manidhar about such mantras. But if you have some time for experiments, see what they say. They might be enlightened. So on Monday we will talk about the mind and the most important function, which is desiring, thinking, feeling, and then willing. Willing is really the desiring. Hare Krishna, thank you very much. How did you like the story? If I would expect this, I would be a faulty like the millionaire who pays a big sum to get his name on a year, you know. No. But I really think it's a nice story which tells us he was desiring to worship Krishna. Krishna made the arrangements. He himself took, like he says in the Gita, I maintain what the devotee has, and I give him what he needs. Hare Krishna, I want to end here. Do you have any questions regarding this subject?
I'm a little bit confused about yesterday. We were talking about Krishna conscious jokes, or it's okay. But Krishna was in Gothenburg, and he was. I had a question about exactly this.
He said, "Don't joke, don't fool around." Yes.
And I made the question that our devotees are in a nice situation, and it's a friendly mood, and it's a jokey atmosphere. And he immediately said, "Prajapa."
So what now?
I was very happy to hear, but I wanted to but most of the time, I would say most of the time we are telling how what happened in this situation with one devotee, how funny that was, or how calm he had something like this. But
you should really come to the lecture on Prajalpa, which I will give. Don't laugh. What I mean to say is, there will be a lecture series, I believe, in Anvik, and one of the points is Prajalpa. I will talk about the things which are unfavorable for devotional service, unfavorable, and amongst the unfavorable points is Prajalpa. Now it's very interesting to note that Prajalpa can be of different sorts, about the news, about what happened here. You can just talk in a nonsensical way. And the versus type of Prajalpa is to talk about the qualities of someone else. Oh, look at him oh, look at her, look at his dhoti, it is really out of style, you know, and just even talking about the good qualities in a nonsensical way, and isn't it a little bit too, I don't know, you know, I don't really want to give all my good points away that no one comes to the lecture, but the point is to just talk behind the back of someone in a nonsensical way. That's the versus type of prajapa, and the most dangerous of all. Most dangerous of all. It is certainly there. And to make jokes, for instance, about someone's nose, or I don't know about what you can make jokes. There are many things. There is a versus type, and very disadvantageous. What I meant in Alnvik's God was to address the Swedish mentality, which often has to struggle along in 6 months of darkness within in the winter when there is no sun shining. We do need humor. It's one of the qualities of the human being. See, in our a person becomes undeveloped when he suffers from three kinds of alienation. Do you know what is the word alienation? Yeah, I think you have to translate that in Swedish.
Främlingskap.
Yes. Yes, it sounds correct. Entfremdung is the German. It sounds very similar. First is to be entfremded, to be in Främlingsgards or whatever the Swedish is. Forgot everything. I could give a lecture before in Swedish, but now nothing is there. It's when you are alienated from yourself. That's what all the karmis say. They don't know that they are the soul. The second type of alienation is when you are alienated from others, when you have no communication with others. Have you sometimes been in this? You become strange. So you have no feedback from devotees, even as a devotee. Or you cannot talk and have no relationship with devotees. You will miss out on something very important. The third type of alienation is alienation of God, from God. Now for a healthy individual, he needs to have these three things intact. You know, the karmis have no connection to God and no connection to the soul. They have connections to others in some ways, but it's not good. Or if a devotee has only connection to Krishna, but no connection to Vaishnava, it won't work. Sadhu Sangha is a very important principle in devotional service. So in relationships to others, there are also humorous moments. In this lecture, there was a lot of humor. The way it was formulated and so on. Because it's important. It's important to laugh and to cry and to go to the toilet. Again, you laugh about everything. That was not funny. That was... Why have I said these three things in one? Because Ayurveda says it is necessary to do these things. You cannot hold it back. You need to laugh sometimes, and you also need to cry. Don't do it before everyone, but you know, when there is a mood of just let it flow. You know, you don't have. Vishnupad once told me something. There was a Maharaji in his room, and you know, very nice Maharaji, and she just opened her heart, and in the process she had to cry. Manager knows, you know, and she was feeling embarrassed of her tears. And Vishnupad just looked at her just so kindly. So fatherly, it was one of his disciples, and he said, just cry, let it out, I'm not disturbed, you know, I'm used to this. And then he said, I have a whole waste paper basket for the tissues. And tissues, you know. And he gave her tissues, and you know. Yeah. Money down also. Just for this purpose. It's important. Nothing wrong. It's really you may and you know, knowing that this, when do you hear this in a lecture? Maybe once a year you hear about it. Maybe you have never heard it in Sweden. I thought I would make this point, you know, because I'm so seldom here. And we have this in our philosophy that we must have four kinds of relationships. One to God, whom we worship, then to devotees, then to the innocent to whom we preach, and then to the demons. Now if you look at it, to God that is like a vertical relationship. What is vertical?
Vertical.
Yes, that is very easy. Vertical. And the others are horizontal relationships. They go this direction. They are to human beings on our level, the devotees, the innocent, and the demons, you know. You have to act towards them. We know this is very important for every devotee. If a devotee only thinks about Krishna, 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 and someone says, Prabhu, you know, what do you disturb me? Krishna, Krishna, hurry, 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 that doesn't work. He has to have a relationship to a devotee. And he needs to do something for the innocent. We have seen you become totally dry if you don't preach. Isn't it? We need to do something for these people. It's very important for a healthy human being. And with a demon, we need to have some good fundamental critique, you know, some fundamental critic, you know. We need to be very careful about materialistic concepts. That's why we want to hide a little bit Freud on Monday, you know. It's very healthy. Or, you know, we need to avoid the demons. Not to be overly aggressive, but it'll be civilized, don't worry. We need to know where, in other words, where there are mistaken concepts, demonic concepts. It's clearer now, isn't it? But don't do prajapa. That means prajapa refers to nonsense. I thought we made a good Krishna conscious joke. You know, one devotee had birthday when we drove with a plane or came with a plane, and then the other devotees had prepared a cake, you know, with candles on it. And you know, then they asked the stewardess to please, can we light the candles when we are going up? You know, we want to present this cake. Oh, no, I don't know. You know, this is a very bad fire on the plane, you know. It's birthday, the devotee said. Birthday, acha, birthday. You know, then they... Happy birthday to you, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And, you know, but such a good Krishna conscious, it was not, it was an innocent joke, it was important. It's human nature. You never do that. Or you go for a swim, maybe it's in the, and you swim a little. You wrestle, maybe. Wrestling is not, we are not so chattier-minded up here, but you know. You could say human relationships. That is what I wanted to say. It's not even such an important point. I think I overblew this point. It's a very natural thing. Just now it doesn't mean joke. Or go into the Sankirtan and try to think of Krishna conscious jokes. I mean, if it happens, you know, don't just ignore the other person, or you know, just please. I hope, because I talk now a lot of it. It's an insignificant little point, which sometimes doesn't harm to watch as it naturally arises. I sometimes think lectures are the only forum in which jokes are said. Hare Krishna Maharaj sometimes jokes. He was so much in his lectures. Do you remember how he acted? Somehow he has stopped. He sometimes does. Yeah. I remember sometimes he, on his Vyasasana, you know, we were all worried. He was making the point, don't eat grains on Ekadasi. It's like a knife in the chest of the spiritual master. That was it. He was practically dying on the Vyasasana. It was a joke.
In Scandinavia, he came to a point, he had the sign on this Vyasasan.
Yeah.
So when he made a joke, he put up the sign so he would understand.
So I'm talking about this thing, you know, but please, it's not so very important. I just wanted to make it clear. So if anyone else is bewildered, please preach to him now and you know, explain the thing correctly. That, yeah.
Let's say I'm in this mood, but somebody else maybe doesn't like to hear all this.
Then don't talk to him in a funny way, because we don't want to unsettle someone. Hare Krishna. I'm not sure if we really should continue. It's 9:35. Let us concentrate again upon the main point. It's desire. Krishna will arrange everything according to the desire. You just need to purify your desire to become a pure devotee, really. You need to desire Krishna. Let's service. And then you won't have any anxiety or worries, because Krishna arranges this. I want to thank you all very, very much. All the best for you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Jai. Gaur Premananda.
Jai. 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 Jai.